everyone, and welcome to the Barbell Mamas podcast. My name is Christina Previtt. I'm a pelvic floor physical therapist, researcher in exercise and pregnancy, and a mom of two who has competed in CrossFit, powerlifting, or weightlifting, pregnant, postpartum, or both. In this podcast, we want to talk about the realities of being a mom who loves to exercise. Whether you're a recreational exerciser or an athlete, we want to talk about all of the things that we go through as females going into this motherhood journey. We're going to talk about fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum topics that are relevant to the active individual. While I am a pelvic floor physical therapist, I am not your pelvic floor physical therapist, and know that this podcast does not substitute medical advice. All right, come along for this journey with us while we navigate motherhood together, and I can't wait to get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Barbell Mamas podcast. Christina Previtt here, and I am really excited because we are in our brand new podcast studio, and so we are hopefully trying to level up some of our audio and video quality, so I am just super, super excited. If I sound a little horse on this, it is not because of my audio quality, and it is because I just took on 24.1 and I had no business taking on 24.1. I haven't been training as much in the CrossFit space and been doing more lifting over the last little while, but that crushed me. In the best way. I took it on RX and I finished it in 10 minutes, but crazy to see like some of these times where people are finishing it in 6 minutes or less. I was like still chugging along through the set of 15s during that time. But the CrossFit Open is always one of my favorite times of the year because of the community piece. The community piece of CrossFit is what made me fall in love with it. I love the weightlifting community, the powerlifting community. When you're kind of in those spaces, you get to hang out with like-minded people and you get to, you know, really experience some of those really hard workouts or those really big weights together, and people get to celebrate. Good luck. We're going to continue pregnant and postpartum modification ideas. And I think what we're going to try and do is we're going to do a bonus episode Thursday night. We're going to try and put it out after the kiddos go to sleep, once the announcement's gone out, where we're going to do a bit of a deeper dive into strategy. And the reason why I say that is because there's a couple things that I was thinking is there is a lot of people who put out their thoughts on Instagram carousels, ourselves included, but it's really hard on the carousels to be able to talk about feeling sensations in the pelvis, in the belly, where our mindset's going to go, how we're going to tackle the workout itself. And I want to be mindful of where people are from a pelvic health perspective and a pregnancy perspective. But I also know that people want to show off their athleticism and do the best that they can. And so we're going to try and tackle that, where I'm going to get Nick on the podcast, whether he knows it or not. And we're going to try and tackle the strategy as a whole. Oops. Of the workout. And then we're going to dive into where we're going to make modifications in the pregnant postpartum space. But today's episode, I had asked you all a couple of weeks ago about the questions you had about postpartum. I feel like a bunch of our episodes lately have been in the pregnancy space. And I really want to make sure that our content goes in both directions, talking about pregnancy and postpartum. And so we're going to go through some of your all's questions. And I am really excited. You guys had a bunch of really good ones. I'm going to try and tackle five. And then we're going to kind of see where we get to from a time perspective. Okay. So our first question was, can you really fix pelvic floor issues or just improve symptoms? And I love this. This is much better for a longer form answer, because the answer is it depends. And it depends on what you are thinking or conceptualizing pelvic floor issues to be. Let me explain. When we think about our bodies, right? Our bodies, as we get older, as we experience life, as we have injuries and issues that come up, we are going to show signs and wrinkles of that on our skin, but also inside our bodies. And when we're thinking about injuries and we're thinking about our joints, as a physical therapist, we always say you are not your image. And what we mean by that is that what your body looks like on an image is only one piece of the puzzle of how you are feeling with that joint. Let me explain. So we know that the majority of individuals, once they get to 40 or 50 years old, if I was to MRI your back and you have never had back pain, I'm going to see some sort of disc bulge or disc issue that shows up on MRI, whether you've had back pain or not, right? If that issue is causing you to have some red flaggy symptoms, like you're having issues with your bowel or bladder, then of course we're going to take that image and we are going to make medical decisions based on it. But our profession, not just physiotherapy, but medicine, has moved away where you have to have a red flag symptom in order to get an MRI, because what we realize is what you see on your MRI, unless you are thinking surgery, doesn't really change your course of rehab. Your symptoms do. When we translate this into the pelvis, the same thing holds true, right? I always joke that we expect our bellies and the skin around our bellies to change after pregnancy, but we expect our vaginas to go back to factory settings. And so that is not true. And our vulva and our pelvic floor, it changes with going through pregnancy and postpartum, getting older, having injuries, all those types of things. And so the long answer of this is it depends what you mean by fix, right? Because as you go through pregnancy and postpartum, you will see more movement of the walls of your vagina because if you've had a vaginal birth, a baby has come out. But that does not mean that you have heaviness or leaking or other signs of pelvic pain. And so, in that way, you can fix your pelvis or your pelvic floor symptoms. But if you're thinking about fixing your pelvic floor as your pelvic floor looks the exact same at 40 as it did at 20 before you had babies, then the answer to that would be no, because you are going to see changes and signs of the life that you have lived throughout your motherhood journey on your body. And so for us, from a pelvic floor perspective, we are improving your symptoms. Hopefully, we are removing them. And then we are thinking that if you do something that pushes your body and those symptoms flare up again, then we're going to get you to rely on the strategies that you used in your earlier rehab to get you back to your baseline. Hopefully, that means minimal symptoms, right? And again, the same would be true if you had shoulder pain, right? So, say you went to a rehab person for shoulder pain. Hopefully, we're going to get you doing some manual therapy potentially. We're going to get you doing some exercises. We're going to teach you how to get yourself out of pain. Shoulder gets better. We quote unquote fix the problem. Now, say you haven't really been doing a ton of workouts and then you go and do CrossFit Open like workout like I did, and that pain comes back. It wasn't that we didn't fix the issue the first time. It's that we're just showing signs that we pushed our body a little bit further than our body was ready for. And so we go back and lean on those strategies again to help get you out of pain. So we really want to think about pelvic floor issues the exact same way that we would think about any type of injury or recurrent issue that we see within other areas of our body. And so what that means from a quote unquote fixing perspective is kind of individual in how you interpret fixing. What do you mean by fixing? Okay, that's question number one. Question number two, and we get asked this a lot about our programs, and so I really want to address it because I think it's really fantastic. Do you have a program strictly for the pelvic floor? And people ask us all the time about this type of thing. So do you have a program for the pelvic floor? Do you have a program for your abs or core rehab? And our answer is no. And I want to explain why. If I see you as a physical therapist and you're coming to see me for postpartum return to CrossFit or postpartum return to powerlifting, weightlifting, the Kegel or the specific pelvic floor muscle training component of your rehab is a very small component of what we do. And the reason why is because the pelvic floor muscle training piece in the postpartum period is after a vaginal birth or after a cesarean, we want to get our body back from a coordination perspective. I'm not talking about what your body looks like. I'm talking about after you have had an injury, which for the pelvic floor delivery or after a surgery, and that is an injury, we want to gain coordination back. And then we work on strengthening, which is progressive overload. We can do initially pelvic floor muscle contractions and core contractions in isolation to regain some of that coordination. But then people get a little bit tripped up around the specificity side of things. Well, everyone's like, well, it's really specific if I have an injury to the pelvic floor and I'm doing pelvic floor muscle training. Yes, right? We do want to isolate that. But I always zoom out and I think, well, your pelvic floor has to contract not in isolation. It has to contract in combination with the system of your core and your entire body in order for you to not leak in the movements that you want to be able to perform. And so our rehab program kind of assumes that you've done the early TA contractions for, you know, a week or two, or you've started that process. And then our job with our programs is to integrate that into the activities that you want to be doing. And then we put in accessories that are core and pelvic floor related. So when you are doing our programs, you want to get back to CrossFit powerlifting, weightlifting. And so the best rehab program for your pelvic floor is to progressively overload those movements and have considerations for the pelvic floor, which is our filters. So the filters on our program are if you're experiencing heaviness, if you're in the early postpartum period, if you are someone who is postpartum from a cesarean birth, if you have what you are concerned about with respect to core rehab or diastasis recti, here are the ways that we would modify this workout. But make no mistake, when you are doing a progressive overload of a squat and you start with an empty bar in your postpartum period, you are specifically loading the pelvic floor because it is the weak point across the chain that is required of muscles required for performing a squat. And so when you start with an empty bar and you add 5 to 10 pounds every time we expose you to it in our programs, at first it's not going to feel heavy on your quads or your butt muscles, but it is going to feel heavy on your pelvic floor. And so we always say, you know, like if you are experiencing heaviness around the vaginal opening after you do your first squat workout back, that's not something to be worried about. Think about it as a signal of your body being tired and that your pelvic floor is experiencing DOMS, right? Like you are going to potentially feel a little bit of an uptick of symptoms between 24 and 48 hours as your pelvic floor recovers from that workout. And that is not bad. That is healing, right? The conception of, or the conceptualization around the postpartum recovery period, this is kind of a little bit of a tangent, but you had to get at least one of these from me in a podcast episode, is, gosh, it makes me mad where we have a person. So say you injured your shoulder, okay? You injured your shoulder's been in a sling for 6 weeks. We would never say to you, Okay, you're taking your sling off. You've done nothing for 6 weeks. I expect you to have full range of motion. You're never going to experience any pain. And your rehab program is going to be pain-free and you're going to progress. Just listen to your body. But that's what we say in the postpartum period, right? That's what we say. We say, okay, don't do anything for 6 weeks and then listen to your body. And if you have pelvic symptoms, you got messed up. And I was like, what are we talking about? How are we even saying this in 2024? It makes no sense that we would be worried, right? So I did a podcast episode that I am not afraid of your symptoms. And this is true. And it is why we don't have like a pelvic floor rehab program. We have a CrossFit program with considerations for the pelvic floor. And so that is just our bias. And that's the way that we go about our programming. But we are thinking about putting in some workshops and things around early pelvic floor rehab and what that might look like before we start integrating into body weight or gymnastics-based movements, for example. But it really is, you know, that initial check for me is, can you contract your pelvic floor at the right time? Are you bearing down when you're bracing? If yes, let's try and clean that up. And then let's put an empty barbell in your hands and see how you do. So, I recognize that, you know, my practice is maybe a little bit on the maybe aggressive side of the spectrum, but I don't really think I am. But when we are thinking about specificity, I think of specificity of movement patterns, not specificity of muscles outside of early rehab. There's my bias. Okay, that was question number two. Question number three is okay, there's so many good ones. Okay, so I had a couple of questions that were around breastfeeding. So, experiences with breastfeeding, returning to training while breastfeeding. How do I safely get back to training with breast? Okay, so we had a bunch that were asking about breastfeeding. So let's tackle the breastfeeding piece. So when we think about nursing and exercise, there's a couple of things that we want to think about. One is what's going on with your hormones when you are nursing versus when you are not. What are your fuel needs when you are nursing versus when you are not? And how about comfort in exercise itself when you are nursing? So, from a hormone perspective, when you are lactating, especially when your baby is exclusively nursing or you are exclusively pumping, you are in a low estrogen state. And it's actually really cool because when we think about menopause, and I've done episodes on menopause about why it's important in the postpartum period to think about menopause, it is called genitourinary syndrome of menopause. And that genitourinary syndrome speaks to you are in a low estrogen state. There has been a push to describe when you are nursing as genitourinary syndrome of lactation, which I think is brilliant because our hormone profile when we are nursing is similar to when we are in menopause. And we do it on purpose in the postpartum period. One, to be nursing, but two, to give resources to baby to try and not get pregnant again. I have said this before, you can get pregnant when you are nursing, even if your estrogen levels are low. So don't say, as I am breastfeeding, therefore I can't get pregnant. That is not true. You are less likely to get pregnant. But the important part is this low estrogen state. And what that means is that you can experience less vaginal lubrication. So you can have vaginal dryness. You can have hot flashes. You can have night sweats. You can have some of these issues with brain fogginess. And also, when we are in a low estrogen state, we are feeling less kind of support around our pelvis because estrogen is really important for the ligaments around our pelvis. Where sometimes this can be misinterpreted is that you should not be strength training or you can't get stronger when you are nursing. That is absolutely not true. But it is a consideration for how you feel in your pelvis and your pelvic floor if your ligaments, which we would describe as our static supports around our pelvis, are not feeling as strong, and our pelvic floor, which is our dynamic support, is still recovering from baby. So that may be why you are feeling a bit more vulnerable or a little bit weaker in your pelvis when you are nursing. And we just have to be intentional about where or how fast we are progressing in that movement. But from a hormone perspective, we don't have any concerns around the amount that you are loading or those types of things. It's more around your subjective feelings, like how you feel within your own body, within your own pelvis, when you are lifting and nursing. And then the secondary thing that we don't have any evidence for, this is just anecdotal, is that some individuals will feel a lot less heaviness around their pelvis when they stop nursing. And again, this is what we see clinically. We don't have any research around this. But what we do see is that some people can feel a lot more support when they are stopping nursing or weaning off of nursing than when they weren't. Okay. So the second thing is the fueling needs, and this kind of comes into the weight. So I did a post probably a couple months ago that really blew up, and it was talking about my experiences exercising while breastfeeding. And my research group, that this is not me on that paper or on that project, but there is some research going into right now around experiences around exercising with breastfeeding, which is really great. I think it's so needed for elite and recreationally active individuals, which I think is super cool. So I was able to be a part of the research survey, but I'm not the one writing up the manuscript. And we think that we are going to shed our baby weights, or people are like, oh, I'm going to breastfeed and all my weight is going to come off because I burn more calories when I am nursing. And for some, that is true. But again, clinically and anecdotally, what I have seen has been a lot the opposite with my active individuals, where they hold on to body fat until they stop nursing. So I remember I nursed my son for 9 months. And as soon as I stopped nursing, my body fat went right back down to where I had been pre-pregnancy. And I remember I was in the gym one time and a person came up to me and they're like, oh my gosh, Christina, like, what have you done? Like, you look like you've dropped a bunch of weight. There's a lot of sensitivity around people making comments. It was not meant to be really negative. But in my mind, I was like, it was the stop breastfeeding diet. So it's an important consideration. Some people will feel like their weight will fall off. Other people, it's the exact opposite. But what are the fueling needs when we are nursing? I'm not exactly sure where this number has come from. I have tried to find it, but I have not been able to locate exactly where it came from. But people oftentimes cite that you are burning an extra 300 calories a day when you are nursing. I don't know if that's the actual number to consider, but you are burning more when you are nursing versus when you are not. And your fueling will directly impact your milk supply. So when I was postpartum with my second, I accidentally put myself into a low energy state. Was not great. I was feeling like garbage, but I thought, well, I'm postpartum, of course I feel like garbage. It wasn't. It was because I wasn't eating enough, even though I thought I was eating a ton. When that happened, my breast milk went from like full milk. Like if you think about milk that you would consume at a grocery store, like it went from whole milk to skim milk. And it almost looked blue. And that was because the fat content was so low. It was like fore milk heavy, not hind milk, which tended to have more fat density. That was getting towards that 9 month mark. It made it harder for me to keep up my nursing supply because I was in a low energy state. And my kiddo was constantly trying to get more nourishment because I just wasn't producing enough. And it wasn't that thick, like really fatty milk that they wanted. And so we kind of made that decision while I was trying to recover from eating too little that we were going to start weaning him to formula. And I was kind of good with that decision. But it kind of spoke to the fact that when we are nursing, the milk supply can be a really good indicator for us of are we eating enough for the exercise, the lactation, and the momming that we are doing throughout our day. And so the intention there is to make sure that we are eating enough. And the hard part about the eating enough, and we've done podcast episodes on fueling, is a lot of the symptoms of low fueling are also the symptoms of being postpartum. And what it does is it basically makes the symptoms of being postpartum, like you're already sleep deprived, you're already tired, there's already that brain fogginess, makes it worse. So if you are feeling like, oh my goodness, postpartum is kicking my butt, one of the things that I encourage people to do is to try increasing their calories to see if it makes it just that little bit better. Like you're not going to change how much your baby is sleeping at night. There's a lot of things that are outside of your control in the postpartum period. Trying to get more fuel in, especially as somebody who is exercising in the postpartum period, can be helpful. And my husband always hates that I would say this, but there would be times where I would grab Five Guys because it would be 1500 calories. And I was like, I just need to make this up. And so for me, it was like absolute number of calories was my first objective in that postpartum period. I was also training a lot, so it made a difference. And that's where we want to think about fuel needs. So we have our hormone needs, we have our fuel needs, and then let's talk about the experience of nursing when you are actively breastfeeding. Listen, I am not a well-endowed person. I do not have big boobs. I've never had big boobs. I actually felt lied to about the big boob thing because I said, was joking to my mom one time about the fact that I am not a big busted person. And she said to me once, she's like, well, I was never really big busted until I had kids. And then as soon as I had kids and I was postpartum, then my boobs got a lot bigger. And so I felt a to hope about that. I was like, oh, maybe my boobs will be bigger after I have kids. And now I have two kids. And that was not the case. I'm still the same size I was before. But when I was nursing, your girl was a little bit bigger than she is now. And that can be really uncomfortable if you start off bigger and then your boobs are engorged with milk. And so the comfort of when you are nursing and timing of exercise and how that feels can be another variable that we want to talk about. So the first thing is, do you have supportive bras, sports bras that you can use? And bonus points if you have a sports bra that also is a nursing bra. So there are certain companies now that are coming out. I think CrossFit actually put up, or maybe it was the Morning Chalkup, put up a bunch of different examples of sports bras for moms that are easy to get on and off or have the clasp so that you can nurse with them, but they also have the support of a sports bra. The timing of when you are nursing or expressing or pumping to when you are exercising can make or break your workout experience, right? Because I've had times where I accidentally had a letdown just because of impact on my upper body, as I was working out, which is such an interesting experience and things that I never had to think about beforehand, obviously. But you know, the timing of when you are nursing and the combination of a good supportive sports bra can be really important and can be helpful for your experience in that moment to be comfortable with exercise. And there's a lot more that's going into the conversation around female comfort with exercise, and one of them is around breast discomfort. And in the lactating individual, this is definitely something that is relevant. So, things to think about. I actually should put up a question box about what the favorite sports bras are for individuals who are nursing, because I'm guessing that the best way to do this is to crowdsource and get a list up and running for you all so that you guys can have that And we can put it together. So those are kind of the three big things that I like to speak to individuals about if they are nursing and exercising. Okay, that was question three. All right, question four. Actually, we got a couple of thoughts on returning too quickly. How can I safely start back with powerlifting? How can I increase it? Is there such thing as returning to exercise too quickly if it feels okay? All right, this is a really great question. So I'm going to talk about what we know, and I'm going to talk about people who are pushing the envelope, and then where we meet in the middle. So this is actually going to probably, this is going to be longer. So this is going to be probably our last, because we're at 35. We're going to be at 30 minutes. Okay, cool. This will be our last one because this is going to be a little bit longer. So first off, my bias is that every person outside of, you know, known reasons to stop exercising or safety considerations to mom or baby in pregnancy and postpartum is going to have their own risk tolerance zone. So what do I mean by that? I mean that everybody is going to have a threshold that feels safe to them. And outside of like known medical or rehab concerns, it is not my job to decide where your safety zone is. It's my job to give you clarity of what the buoys are that are going to tell you that you may have some sort of injury, or talk about your own cost benefit analysis. So in the postpartum period, the thing that we need to think about and be mindful of is the healing of your tissues. What are signs and symptoms that you are going too far? And what are things for us to think about with respect to timelines? And recognizing that we don't have a guideline of what is too slow or too fast. We just have individuals who are kind of figuring this stuff out. And this is a part of my research area, is trying to figure this out. So let's talk about the too fast piece. Okay. So outside of bleeding after delivery and making sure that we're not having blood clots, right? So if you are exercising and you're having clots bigger than the size of a loonie, if you are in Canada like me, or about 1 inch in diameter, some people will say a golf ball. I would probably think that's a little bit too big. I want a little bit smaller than a golf ball is my kind of line. That's kind of one of those things in the early postpartum period that's telling you that you're pushing your body too far. Outside of that initial bleeding, the next thing that we need to think about is your body's healing. And right now we only have two studies that have looked at cardio-based exercise that speak to pelvic floor and pelvic floor related issues in the postpartum period. So Janet Shaw and Ingrid Nygaard are two researchers out of Utah, and I am a fangirl of them. And I got to talk to Janet Shaw, and I swear I was bumbling and my face was hot because her work is amazing. And she did a research study that looked at individuals who got back to moderate or vigorous exercise at the 2 to 3 week mark postpartum versus the 6 week mark postpartum. And then they looked at rates of pelvic floor issues at a year postpartum. And what they saw was if you started moderate intensity exercise at 4 weeks or 2 to 3 weeks postpartum, you did not have an increased risk of pelvic floor dysfunction in the postpartum period. If you started vigorous intensity exercise, you did not have an increased risk of subjective complaints of pelvic floor issues. So meaning you weren't telling me or reporting me that you have more pain or more leaking than somebody who did not get back to vigorous intensity, but you did see a change of objective support. So the range of motion of one or more of your vaginal walls was bigger
if you returned to exercise vigorously at the 2 to 3 week mark. And that piece that I think is really important is that we always encourage at the Barbell Mamas and my conversations with people is that we shouldn't be going like as hard as we can or really, really heavy in that first 2 to 3 weeks postpartum, right? I talk about, if we're talking about trying to extend this to strength training, we want to think about potentially not having you lifting really heavy for you in that 2 to 3 week mark postpartum. So in that 2 to 3 week mark postpartum, one, you have not been cleared medically. That doesn't mean you can't exercise, but that is usually not the time where I would be saying to lift really, really heavy. That being said, we have people who are starting to get back to really heavy weights in that postpartum period. And we really don't know what the long-term outcomes for them are. There is a lot that goes into that postpartum recovery. And I think that there is a spot where we could potentially increase our risk of pelvic floor issues long-term if we don't respect that early healing timeline, which I know for many people who are listening to me like, wow, Christina's saying that, but it's true. So I always talk about progressive overload for the pelvic floor, which starts with an empty bar and increases 5 to 10 pounds every time you expose yourself to that lift as my favorite postpartum protocol for returning to strength training. I also believe that you should not use a weightlifting belt until your body is ready for it. I also have I've seen more and more people who are using it because they feel more support and their core feels weak in that postpartum period. But my bias is that is the whole reason why we are doing postpartum rehab, and having that artificial support or having that boost in support before your body is ready for it, we want to earn our weightlifting belt. So kind of the TLDR of that is, we do not have any research right now of what is too fast or too slow. However, we want to marry what we know about postpartum healing with body readiness to return in the postpartum period. So in that 2 to 3 weeks postpartum, I absolutely think that we can be going back to strength training. But we want to think about the fact that our early postpartum period, we want to be respecting where our pelvic floor healing is. And we don't need to rush into really heavy weights, because we will get there as our body is healing. And there are so many other things in that early postpartum period that we want to be mindful of. Like, you're not sleeping, your recovery is subpar, and, we can put a lot of pressure on ourselves sometimes from the loading perspective in the postpartum period. So until we know more, I'm going to be more aggressive than most and absolutely advocate for starting strength training in that early postpartum period. But I'm also going to be mindful of where your pelvis is from a support perspective and recognize that there's a lot of healing that happens in those first initial weeks, the first 6 to 12 weeks, and try and be mindful of that with our progressions. So when I was thinking and asking people about what in our cross-sectional study, so I did a research paper that looked at individuals who lifted heavy during their pregnancy, and it had just under 700, so 679 individuals. And we asked them about, you know, what their exercise habits were during pregnancy, but we also asked about when they started getting back to things postpartum. And what they said was that they started getting back to holding their breath in and lifting between 4.5 and 5.5 months postpartum. And the weightlifting belt was about six and a half months postpartum. And that's pretty in line with where I see things in the postpartum period too. Are we maybe going to see where we can get back to a lot of these things faster? Sure. Are a lot of moms who have kiddos at home lifting 35 pounds one day postpartum, including myself? Yep. But it's the additional piece of the strength training where, you know, some people are lifting 100 kilos, 220 pounds, 10 days postpartum, that I wonder if we are going to get to some level where there is a too fast, piece, just so that we're being mindful of the objective support so that we set ourselves all out for long-term success, not just in the postpartum period, but in the postmenopausal window and through our aging experience. So jury's still out on that, but absolutely, we're going to give you the buoy. Some people said, what about if you're feeling okay? Yep. Outside of the early healing phases, the rate at which people get back to a lot of skills and drills and weights is very individual. So outside of that initial bleeding, that respect of where those healing timelines are, the rate at which you get back to 60, 70, 80% of your one rep max versus somebody else is up to you. And right now that prospective study that I'm working on is going to be following women, hopefully some of you listening to the podcast, and people 18 months postpartum. And so we're going to try and get some timelines of, like, you know, what time postpartum did you get back to 60% of your one rep max? What time postpartum did you get back to 75%? And the idea with that is that we're trying to gain insights into, you know, appropriate guideline creation for individuals who are strength training during pregnancy and into that postpartum period. So, you know, the TLDR is, there is a potential of going too fast. But what that means out of the early post, outside of the early postpartum period is still kind of a question mark. So we use our understanding of healing with how a person is feeling to make those recommendations. All right. So that is our episode for today. I really love doing some of these questions and kind of focusing in pregnancy versus postpartum. If you found this helpful, let us know and we'll do it every 6 or 8 weeks or so. We have some really exciting episodes coming up in the future. We're going to have that bonus episode up for 24.2, which gets announced on Thursday. If you have any other thoughts, questions, comments, let us know. Otherwise, have a wonderful week, everybody. And we will see you all next time.